welcome to the Draft Social Media Podcast. It's what social media managers are talking about. I'm Ellie, and today I'm joined by Katie and Chloe. Coming up on this week's episode, we'll be discussing the power of influencer marketing. Plus, we'll discuss our top tips and advice on how to utilize influencer marketing for your business. Firstly, you may be thinking, what is influencer marketing? Now let me tell you, influencer marketing is a form of social media marketing that involves product placements and endorsements from online creators. Marketers can choose from a large list of social media platforms to bridge the gap between brands and consumers. Influencer marketing has evolved into one of the most popular forms of online marketing worldwide. With billions of social media users each day, it makes perfect sense that marketers harness the power of these influencers for promotion. The latest data shows that the global influencer marketing value has more than doubled since 2019. And seeing that today's digital landscape is evolving incredibly fast, influencers are becoming a vital gateway for businesses wanting to boost exposure and keep their fingers on the pulse. So now you know a little bit more about influencer marketing, we'll be diving straight into our favorite influencer marketing campaigns. So Chloe, would you like to start us off?
I would love to. This one's kind of front of mind for me, so maybe I have a little bit of recency bias. But Glassons, I don't know if either of you guys have heard of Glassons. They're an Australian fashion brand, and I think that they do influencer marketing so well. They do these PR trips and, you know, we all remember, you know, back in 2017, 2018, where PR trips were kind of at their peak and every beauty brand was paying like millions of dollars to fly James Charles and Jeffree Star out to Bora Bora, it seems, and do lots of fun activities. But Glassons do this on a much smaller and I think personally like a more authentic scale. And they have this really cool ability to kind of be able to pick out and identify these it girls in the Australian fashion space, especially when they're influencers. I don't know if you guys, have you heard of Cartier Milan? Surely? No. Okay. These are Australian references. But a few years ago, it was Cartier Milan. And this year, it's a girl called Jackie Alexander. And they usually have, you know, these it girls and then some maybe, you know, other influencers around the same size, maybe a bit smaller. And they fly them to places like New York or, I don't know, coastal islands and things like that. And they really do make the most of generating these campaigns, generating lots of influencer-generated content and other forms of content for their brand. So they basically have these PR trips, but they use it for every facet of their business, pretty much. And I just think it's so smart because you fly these girls out on location, they go on holiday, whether it's Italy or, you know, America, as I just said, and they're snapping their own pictures and their own stories and their own TikTok content and in head-to-toe Glassons. So you've got that content going out there and people asking, you know, where's your outfit from? Where did you get this? And it's all Glassons. But then Glassons themselves are posting this content of what these influencers are doing. It's really good exposure for them and they're sort of generating their own content on the streets of New York, which is great for their feed. And then they're also, you know, they might be shooting a new campaign or lookbook for a line that's coming out in the future. So it's like this whole wheel of content. And I think that their marketing team is so smart by doing this. And exposing like thousands of people, not just from Australia, but they have global followings and Glassons ships worldwide. And it doesn't sort of feel forced or sponsored, even though that it is. And it's just, you know, these really aspirational girls posting really aspirational content in beautiful outfits on beautiful locations. And I just love it. I just think it's really smart. And I think influencer is best when it's not, you know, when it's sort of out the box and it's not your typical, you know, point and shoot stuff, SponCon, and it's sort of a little bit more creative.
I honestly love the influencer trips, the PR trips. I 100% agree with you. I think it's such great content and I always get sucked in because it's like all across every single social media platform. Like it can be YouTube videos, TikTok content now, literally anything, and I'm fully here for it. I absolutely love them. But yeah,
well, that's such the thing, a great isn't example. if you kind of create this environment where there's so much content for these influencers to snap, like if you took someone on a PR trip and really their only job is to wear these clothes and then just have their photos taken by the brand, but you have, you know, YouTubers who might go and yeah, they're creating YouTube videos sort of off their own back, and sure, it might be a little bit sponsored, but there's that, and then TikTok videos that come from that, and like you're just getting so much stuff for free, and because it's more of a partnership than it is a collaboration, it doesn't feel as forced. And I know PacSun did something really similar with Emma Chamberlain, where she was basically just sort of modeling for them, but you know, she's an internet sensation and she's great on platforms like TikTok, and the amount of content that they just got from that one shoot lasted them months and months. So it's so smart.
Yeah, it's literally like the perfect marketing move, and they're like leading the pathway for influencer marketing. Like more brands need to kind of utilize it, because I think most brands could do PR trips regardless of what your product is. I know it's more like beauty and maybe fashion, but again, there's nothing saying, I don't know, if you're an adventure sports that you could, I don't know,
definitely. Well, imagine a trampoline brand, right? And maybe they supply the trampolines for those adventure parks or those Ninja Warrior sort of, what are they, like theme rooms or whatever. And then they just take a bunch of, you know, lifestyle or sporty influencers to this Ninja Warrior park and they're sponsoring their own trampolines. Like, how cool is that?
I love it, honestly. Any sort of PR trips, I'm all over it. So... Mm-hmm. We need to get on one at some point.
Yeah. Someone take the giraffe girls on a trip, please.
We'll do a podcast on it. Katie, what about you? What is one of your favorite influencer marketing campaigns?
So you may more than likely have heard of this brand before, but Estrid Razors. You following. And this is actually... I don't know about you guys. I own an Estrid razor as part of, because I was sucked in by all the hype, and it is worth the hype. I'm saying that for free. But no, I mean, clearly we've all heard of Estrid. We know what they're about. And I found a really cool interview with their influencer marketing manager, talking influence, where they just talk about the fact that, okay, firstly, Estrid was founded in 2019. I feel like it's just been around for like ever.
Yeah. They really did that stride.
And ever since then, they started with influencer marketing. Like that was an integral part of their strategy from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they say that they've managed to establish a strong presence in the ever-changing social media landscape, which is just so true by the fact that I just had to say the name and you guys were just like, yep, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they launched using influencers because the reason I have an Estrid razor is because they sent me one when they launched. So they're so like fingers on the pulse with it.
Exactly. And like they go into detail to be like, they work with both gifted collaborations with smaller content creators, as well as paid collaborations with bigger profiles. So they're just getting across like all the niches they possibly could. And it's a great way to like, especially with like nano gifting, like it's such a good way to like establish yourself as like a grassroots, like authentic company. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the huge things as well that does like mark Estrid outside of everything else, as well as they're all vegan and cruelty free and they try to be ethical and eco-friendly. I think one of the main things that stands them out, as opposed to like, say, if Gillette were to do an influencer marketing campaign or something like that, is that I think it feels more authentic than traditional shaving ads. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen like TikToks of like, people like shaving with them, like actually on legs with hair. They're not shaving hairless legs. And I think as well, like it creates like a really nice like approach to body hair, especially in a more like body positive space, if that makes sense.
Totally. And this is a really great tip as well. And we will get into tips later, but I think storytelling is such a rich part of your influencer marketing sort of strategy. And I kind of touched on this with the Glassons campaign, is that you really need to move away from just sending a product out and hoping for the best. Like, you know, taking a picture holding an Estrid razor won't cut it anymore. And I think what Estrid does really well is that they create this story around body positivity and, you know, not every person shaves their armpits, and hey, here's a really great tips on how to sort of shave your bikini line without getting, you know, those pesky little bumps. So I think that, you know, even though some of their micro-influencer content or their nano content might just be pretty flat lays, their bigger paid stuff and what they're really honing in on both their own branded storytelling but through their influencer content is, yeah, these really personal stories about people's relationships with body hair, which I think is so great.
I love that. And like, especially, I mean, this is just to demonstrate the scale of the Estrid takeover of the influencer space. They currently run influencer marketing campaigns in 6 different European markets with a combination of one-off collaborations and longer-term partnerships. So they are just absolutely killing it right now. They are getting themselves out there. They are getting everyone to, if they wish to shave with Estrid.
They've like clearly hit the nail on the head there. And
also their products are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're harnessing the power of social media and influencer marketing. So yeah, good on them. That's such a good example. I love that one. Definitely. I will jump into my one, if that's cool with you guys.
Please do, yes.
But I was thinking, when I thought of influencer marketing, the first one that came to my head was Gymshark. And I know it's probably quite an obvious choice, but I feel like you can't talk about influencer marketing without talking about Gymshark. Purely because, I mean, I feel like their whole brand and the success of their brand is due to influencer marketing. Like, I remember years ago, like, even when I was like a young'un, like back in school, and I remember everyone was talking about it because they'd got like a small amount of, I don't know, fitness influencers, and everyone was like aspiring to be them. And it was like a mix of like females, males. So like every gender could get involved. And obviously now it's grown on such a big scale and you've got kind of like social media, Gymshark athletes, isn't it? It's like the Gymshark athlete community.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what's made them the brand that they are. And they have influence marketing campaigns ongoing all the time. And one that they had the other week, and I don't know whether you guys would have seen it on LinkedIn, but there was, or even on social media, actually, they had like a pop-up stall.
I did see this today.
Yeah, literally like a pop-up stall. And it was kind of like to raise awareness of their new shop, I think, opening up in London, or a pop-up shop. But yeah, they were just selling their brands like off for really cheap. I think it was £5 or something for leggings and stuff. So obviously much cheaper than market price. And they had a load of their influencers, or Gymshark athletes, I should call them, come down and sell the products. And I just think it's such an ingenious way of utilizing normal marketing tactics of kind of in like face-to-face selling with influence marketing. And it's just simple and effective. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so clever.
I think Gymshark are just like total marketing geniuses. You're so right. Like, their Gymshark athletes are essentially the face of their brand, and that is all influencers, really. And I remember during the pandemic when I got really into home workouts, I followed a lot of YouTubers, and one particular, Lily Sabri, I think she.
I love her.
She's great, right? She does, like, at the beginning, she sort of live streams her workout, so you do it in real time with her. And then at the end, maybe she's showing you her new Gymshark products, or she's got like a discount code, or there's a sale and she tells you about it. But I think what is so smart is that she wears it during the workout. And so I know a lot of the big issues that people have with gym wear is it squat proof, that type of thing. Like, how see-through does it get? Do you end up with sweat patches all over you? And so
where are the sweat patches?
Totally, totally. And so you kind of do this with her. She puts on her new pieces, you do the workout, and then it's almost like a live sort of review, and you can sort of see it for yourself, which I think is great. But I love the concept. I knew that they had a little market store, but I didn't know they had the influencers come down and sell stuff. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, and they were kind of all promoting it on their stories as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I saw it initially, and then I saw it on LinkedIn after. But it's just, it's a really great way to utilize your influencers, and they're all kind of like long-term partnerships as well. I feel like they don't really do one-offs necessarily, and they've even got kind of Molly May doing it.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well
they have.
Because an ad that came off my Instagram was Get
Me
Molly
Too.
Look. Six, yes, we've been targeted.
I think I've got a different algorithm. I have not seen this.
Look at Ellie and I falling into the same ad demographic. I love that.
I'm so glad you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, well, I was just going to say that, actually. I don't really follow Molly May. Obviously, we know who she is. She's one of the biggest influencers in the UK. But, yeah, it was a sort of a story ad, and she was trying on some products in the mirror. And, yeah, it was like, get the Molly May look. And, listen, I put my hand up. I swiped straight up on that, visited the link, went through, had a little browse. So there you go. Like, it doesn't even have to be... Well, I was going to say it doesn't have to be people who are well-known, but everyone knows who Molly May is, so.
I feel like we touched on some really great campaigns there, all kind of different scales. But yeah, really, really great to discuss. And I loved hearing your Australian one, Chloe.
Look up Glassons. They're so great. And they don't ship to the UK yet, which I hate because I shop with them all the time. But this is a public petition for Glassons to ship to the UK so that you guys can all follow them.
Now it's time for our tips and tricks segment, where we share what we've learned in the world of social media and how you can apply it to your social strategy. So now that we've discussed and shared our favourite influencer marketing campaigns, it's time for us to provide you with some of our top tips and tricks for influencer marketing success. So, as our influencer marketing leads at Giraffe, ladies, I'm going to let you guys take the lead on this one. So, Katie, would you like to go first?
Sure. So, actually, my tip is something that Chloe taught me when I first got into influencer marketing, and I'm fairly new to the sphere. Chloe's more of our expert. And I think it harps on a lot of what I say about user-generated content, where... with this one quote that not repurposing your influencer content is like only wearing an outfit once. I think if you've arranged with your influencer to use their content in the future that they produce, I'm a huge fan of user-generated content. I talk about it an awful lot on this podcast. It's just such a nice way and an easy way to produce content, especially when you're in a slump. It humanizes your brand. It shows as well that when you do collaborate with people, you care about it, which I think is really important. You can collaborate or you can do influencer marketing with like loads and loads of influencers, but if you're not sharing that content on your page, are you really showing that you believe in that partnership, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it might not fit into your brand, but if it's not fitting into your brand, should you really be working with them in the first place? But even just, you know, resharing it on your story or sharing it on your feed, I think, you know, it's a really essential part of influencer marketing.
Yeah, I think that is such a good tip, Katie, and I'm really glad that you brought it up because it's just reminded me of an influencer marketing campaign that I thought was really great, and it's from the late Misguided. I'm not sure if by the time this goes live someone has pulled them out of administration. But they did a really, really awesome billboard campaign sort of around the UK where they took all the pictures that their influencers had posted and put them all up on billboards and like had the influencer handles underneath. And this was both like, you know, like celebrity influencers and then a lot of their smaller influencers, which you're so right. Like I remember I knew some girls who made it onto the billboard and they were just like so over the moon because it's, you know, imagine sort of working with a brand on a gifted basis and ending up on their billboard campaign. And you're so right, Katie. I think it just goes to show like how much you as a brand sort of value your influencers. So that's like a really nice sort of counterpoint to that.
I mean, kind of going off the basis of kind of researching like your influencers and stuff like that, and like choosing quality, because obviously having like a good mix of the billboard influencers was like a really good move from their part. But I actually saw one this morning, funnily enough, and it came up on my LinkedIn. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Pan and Ice.
No.
Sounds familiar.
But it's like, they do, I think, so you can, I've seen you can buy them on Amazon. They're like kits and you can get their products and they get sent to you, whatever. But you can also have them at like your events, like small scale events. Ooh. It's basically like you can make your own ice cream and like roll them up into like.
Oh yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And it was Stacey Solomon kind of had them at her event over the weekend.
Wow.
And I think their sales went up by like 100%, or inquiries and website leads went up by 100% over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it just shows like the quality of the individual. It doesn't have to be anything major. And I'm not even sure if it was a paid thing. I think it was, yeah, just shouting about it, but it just shows how powerful it is. I just thought it was a really, really good example.
Kind of going off of that, second tip 1.5. What I would say is something I read, and it was niche over numbers.
Yeah.
Obviously Stacey Solomon is a huge like person to get onto your to work with your brand. But if she's not in your niche, you've got to consider if it's worth those numbers, if that makes sense. You can team up with like all these like huge influencers, obviously if you have the budget, but if they're not in your niche, you're not gonna see a good enough like return on investment there. So niche over numbers, there you go, the quick one.
Yeah, I mean, it defeats the point, doesn't it, if you're simply going off kind of the metrics, the face value metrics, I should say, rather than kind of what your brand can actually get out of it, because it may just defeat the whole point of influencer marketing if it's kind of off topic for your brand.
I actually have two tips. I only had one, but as we were talking, I thought of another. And what I love about my tips is that they tie into two of the campaigns that we spoke about at the top of the episode. So hold on to your hats. The first one is to make sure that you're like above all else, no matter what scale of influencer marketing you want to delve into, and almost sort of something that you would do as a small business anyway, is to make sure that your packaging or your PR packages are beautiful.
Yes.
And right, this is something that I think helped Estrid sort of get to the point where they're at now throughout the pandemic, and that is that their PR packages were gorgeous, 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 like beautiful pink cardboard boxes, and you'd open it and like these all sustainable made, so there's sort of another thing to shout about there.
Yeah.
And no matter if you're paying people to post, but if you're gifting especially, making sure that whatever you're sending that gifted product in is a work of art is just like a surefire way that you're at least going to get stories out of it. Because influencers, especially micro-influencers, are always looking for new ways to generate content. They might not have a lot of partnerships in the pipeline, and they might not have sort of their own resources to be pumping out content all the time. So when they receive a PR package, not only is it super, super exciting for them, but if they were kind of not sure if they wanted to post, just having a beautiful parcel that you can film yourself opening, like you're guaranteed that story content. And I do it as well. Like I sort of, you know, welcome brands to send over PR stuff. I let them know it doesn't guarantee posting, but if it comes in a pretty box, you best believe you're getting stories out of it at the very least. So that's tip number one. And I think a tip that Estrid has utilized really well. Tip number two, Ellie, comes off the back of Gymshark and their sort of long-term partnerships. I think investing and building long-term partnerships with your influencers is really that work smarter, not harder mentality, because you're not only sort of saving yourself time. Like we have clients where they work with up to 10 influencers per month, and that's a lot of influencers to source, you know, in a short span of time. So working with influencers consistently over like a quarterly span or an ongoing, you know, year-long partnership not only saves you time, but it just can help you generate much, much better results, and for a few reasons. The top three is one, it obviously builds trust between an influencer and their followers, which maybe seems like you're doing them a favor, but is very mutually beneficial because it increases the authenticity of your collaborations. We say all the time, people buy from people. And I think there's sort of been a shift recently where if people see something that's sponsored, they automatically kind of switch off to it. They don't like being sold to, even when it comes from influencers these days, because I don't know if they think that there's some money being put behind it, that, you know, they question naturally the authenticity of that. But if you're working with one influencer over the span of 6 months, the more that that person sees that the influencer is using it in their day-to-day life, the more that they do kind of warm up to that product or to that brand. And then finally, like, it just provides you with way more brand awareness and way more brand credibility because you're being consistently targeted to the same group of customers. So it kind of ties into point number two, but, you know, if I see a product once from an influencer, I might not think anything of it. If I see it twice, I'm in that consideration stage. If I see it 3, 4, 5 times, I'm going, they must really love this, or it must be really good. So I'm gonna take a look, and I might just buy it. So on a singular scale, it's great. On a large scale, like Gymshark, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And like going back to what we were saying about like making your influencers feel valued as well. Like if you do have these brand ambassadors, it really does show that you can form a good relationship with an influencer, and that is why that is part of the reason, at least, why they're continuing to endorse your brand. You know.
Totally.
I feel like we've heard all the expert knowledge from you guys, at least some of it.
It just kept coming out.
Yeah, I could talk about this all day.
Yeah, you've heard it here first, guys. So hopefully the tips we have just mentioned have helped you and provided you with some insider information that can help you with your brand with their influencer marketing. If you have any influencer marketing tips that we haven't mentioned in today's episode, please send them in on Instagram @giraffesm. Well, that's all we've got time for today. If you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you'd like to leave us a review on your favourite podcast app, we'd really appreciate it. We've been Giraffe Social Media. You've been amazing, and we'll see you next time. Well, that's all that we've got time for today. If you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you'd like to leave us a review on your favourite podcast app, we really appreciate it. We've been Giraffe Social Media. You've been amazing, and we'll see you next time.